Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. So some of us have found our purpose, but some of us might be wondering how much of our life is determined by fate. How many of our life events are going to happen no matter what we do? It's inevitable. There's a plan for our life, and whatever I do, it doesn't matter because there's a plan, and it's just going to go like that plan, right? I see some of you going, I don't think so. And some people, instead of calling it fate, they might call it God's will. My life is controlled by the will of God, and God being all powerful, certain things are going to happen no matter what I might want to say about it. Which might make us wonder, when we meet that special, perfect, right somebody, was that fate? Or did we make it happen? If we secure the perfect career, the perfect job, was that God's will? Or did I create that? How much control do we have over our lives? If you've been around here for more than 5 minutes, you know that the answer, there's no spoiler here, the answer is we have quite a bit of control over our lives. And yet there are still those who kind of approach life with that fatalistic attitude. What difference does it make what I do? What's meant to happen will happen. Doesn't matter what I do. That's not what we teach around here. We actually teach quite the opposite. If you look in The Science of Mind, written by our founder, Ernest Holmes, and you look in the glossary, you'll see under the definition of fate, we don't teach about fate. Fate is not a real thing. Instead, we believe in cause and effect. So we don't teach fate in the sense of your life is going to happen just the way somebody else intends it to happen. There's nothing you could do about it. We don't teach that. We instead teach that we get to create our lives, and that our consciousness, our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs have a lot to do with creating our life. So, of course, the next question is, does that mean spirit or God has nothing to do with it? No, that's not what that means. Because we don't just create our lives, we co-create our lives with the spirit within. It's not all just up to us. We co-create with the spirit within us. And as our founder, Ernest Holmes, said many times, we are not automatrons. I think nowadays he would say robots, or we're not a product of AI or something. But in his day, he used the word automatron, meaning we don't come into this life totally pre-programmed, and that program is going to play out no matter what we do. Another way to think about it is we are not puppets. There's not someone else or something else that has all the strings, and they're just jerking us around to bend to their will. Instead, we get to co-create with the spirit within. We get to choose what to do with our lives. And when we choose what to do with our lives, that means we're taking responsibility for our lives, which means some people rather go the other way. They rather go with the whole idea of fate because it's a lot easier. If it's all fate, if it's all just left up to God, no matter what I say or do, then I don't really have to take responsibility for my life. It could be a lot easier that way. Maybe less hard work. Maybe less planning. maybe less having to heal, maybe less self-improvement. Now, if we choose this route, we might kind of accidentally find some satisfaction and happiness. And this might be one way to live, but my question today is it a life? Is it a life with meaning? Is it a life worth living? I propose today that the better approach would be, instead of leaving it up to fate, to find our purpose and then use our co-creative powers to make that purpose come alive. This is a way to have a life that is more meaningful, more satisfying. This is the path to that self-actualization, living up to our full potential, becoming all that we can be, and having a life with meaning. So we want to find our purpose if we want to have a full life. The 12th century Catholic priest and mystic Saint Bernard had a sign over his door that said, "Bernard, why are you here?" Because he wanted to be daily reminded, I am here for a purpose and I never want to forget that. I want to remember that and live that. Bernard, why are you here? Don't forget. The researcher Bronnie Ware, in her book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, shares that the top regret amongst those who are aware that they're dying is not having had the courage to live the life they knew they were destined for. Not having had the courage to fulfill their purpose, which is why Wayne Dyer reminds us, don't die with your music still in you. Don't die with your purpose unfulfilled. Don't die feeling as if your life has been wrong. Don't let that happen to you. As the author Robert Byrne puts it, the life or the purpose of life is a life of purpose. Now, let me be clear about what purpose is not. Purpose is not making a lot of money. Purpose is not climbing the ladder of success, gaining prestige, dying with the most toys, although that could be quite fun. Right? Now, these might very well be byproducts of living our purpose, but they are not the ends, and they are not what gives us meaning. A true purpose will have elements of love and service because our true purpose does come from the spirit within. Not God's will in the sense of I'm going to make you do this no matter what, but it comes from the spirit within. It is that thing that needs us just the way we are, with our unique talents, with our unique way of being. Now, some people, they just know their purpose. They just know it right away. Like, oh, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm going to do. And they're off and running. Some others kind of stumble into their purpose. But once they're there, they go, oh, this is why I'm here. And then there are others of us, and I'm in this category, it takes us some time. We need to dedicate some time to some deep listening, communing with the spirit, spending some time in the stillness so we can hear that still small voice that guides us. And we do this communing with the spirit with no agenda other than to open our hearts and listen for the answer. What am I here to achieve? What is my purpose? For some of us, we might have to do this for months. We might have to do this for a long time. But no, you will get an answer. No matter how we find our purpose, whether you just know what it is, whether you kind of stumble into it, or whether it's the result of some deep listening, this is where our choice comes in. We get to choose whether or not we fulfill our destiny. It's destiny, not fate. Destiny has an element of choice to it. Am I going to accept this? Or am I going to ignore it? If we choose to accept it, this is when we get to put our affirmative prayer to one of its highest purposes. We use affirmative prayer for a lot of things in life. But this, entering into affirmative prayer, entering to the reciprocal relationship that we have with God, with Spirit, is perhaps the highest use we can make of affirmative prayer. And it works like this. That reciprocal relationship, why do we call it that? Because both parties, us and Spirit, were both givers and receivers. We receive from Spirit the message, this is what I would like to accomplish through you. This is what I need you for. And then we get to choose to accept it, to surrender to it, to say, yes, I will do that. Giver, the Spirit gives, we receive. But then we switch roles. Having received it and accepted it, we get to give it back to Spirit. We get to surrender it back to that infinite intelligence and say, I say yes, now please show me the way. And that universal intelligence accepts it and says, thank you, let me show you the way. Which means after we've listened and after we've accepted and after we've surrendered to it, guess what we get to keep doing? We get to keep listening and keep accepting and keep surrendering. It never ends if we want to fulfill our purpose. Because to do these things, these purposes we are brought here for, we're going to need guidance. We're going to need to know what is the next action step I need to take. We're going to need resources and ideas and connections. So we need to keep listening. Now, this is a lot like our GPS systems in our car. We've all had this experience, right? You're on your route, and then we choose to make a wrong turn. But the little voice in the GPS lets us know we have gone astray, and it keeps saying, proceed to the route, proceed to the route, proceed to the route, right? It will not let us go astray. It wants us to get back on track. Now, we could turn off the GPS. We could stop listening, but then we're left to wonder, I wonder what would have been waiting for me if I had followed the route shown. What gifts have I missed out on? Howard Thurman gives us a hint at one of these gifts. He says, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. If we say yes to our purpose, we will not only come alive and fulfill our beautiful lives, but we can rest assured that it will meet the world's needs. Now, some of this can be a little scary, right? There's some risk in doing this. It might disrupt our entire lives. You might be asked to move across the country from a home you loved for 25 years. Just saying. Right? But it's worth it. We might be called to leave our comfort zones. We might need to learn new things. We might need to do some forgiveness work. We might need to heal old wounds so that we can be prepared to live our purpose. But the rewards are great, and we will be led along the way for everything that we need. Thomas Troward, one of our early New Thought teachers, said, "Any anxious thought as to the means to be employed in the accomplishment of our purpose is quite unnecessary. If the end is already secured, then it follows that all the steps leading to it are also secured." If we accept our mission, then we can be assured that we will not only have everything we need, we will create a beautiful lives for ourselves and for others. Tim Hernandez is one of those people who kind of stumbled into his purpose in 2010. Tim is a professor at the University of Texas in El Paso. He's a poet, an author, an investigative researcher. And in 2010, while investigating something else entirely, he ran across a newspaper article about a plane crash in 1948 in Los Gatos Canyon of California. Everyone on that plane perished, 32 people. 4 American citizens and 28 Mexican braceros. Mexican braceros, they are people who were invited here by our country in a contract to work on our farms. And 28 of these people were being returned to Mexico after having completed their contract. The 4 Americans, their bodies were returned to their families. The 28 Mexican braceros were not returned. Instead, they were buried in a mass grave with a plaque that said, 28 Mexican citizens who died in an airplane crash near Colinga. That's all it said, no names. When Tim read this newspaper article, he's like, I know this story, it sounds familiar. And then he made the connection. This story was the inspiration for Woody Guthrie's song, Deportee, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos. Woody Guthrie wrote the song in 1948 after noticing that the newspapers across the country, when telling about the plane crash, named the 4 Americans, did not name the 28 Mexicans. They were just called deportees. When Tim made this connection in 2010, he knew, I must find their names. I must find their families and make contact with them. This would become his life's mission. First, he went to the cemetery, looked in the register there. There were 28 entries, but they only said Mexican nationals. No names. He went to the Hall of Records in Fresno. He found a list of 28 names, but being a Spanish speaker, he knew immediately that the list had a lot of mistakes in it. A lot of misspellings, a lot of Spanish surnames were turned into Italian surnames, and a lot of surnames were turned into middle names. And he knew what was the source of that. As is the cultural tradition, many Mexican citizens have 2 last names, their mother and father's last name. But Tim could tell right away when he looked at this list that a lot of those surnames were turned into middle names. And he was quite certain that the passenger named Laura was actually a male with the surname Lara. So this was a list, but totally unreliable. So he went on looking. And then finally, one year, he noticed that in early November on the Day of the Dead, there are flowers on this grave. And he's like, somebody knows these people are here. So he placed an ad in the local newspaper. If you are related to any of the people in this mass grave, please get in touch. Jaime Ramirez got in touch. He said, my grandfather is buried there. Well, this was the connection Tim needed, because Jaime also had a newspaper article from 1948 from a local Spanish language newspaper. And unlike all the other newspapers in the country, this newspaper not only listed correctly the names of all 28 Mexican citizens, but it also listed where they were from in Mexico and if they had the information, the names of their wives or their parents. Finally, Tim had the 28 names. So then he set out a fundraising adventure. And in 2013, after thousands of small donations, he was finally able to install a large marble headstone at that mass grave with 32 names on it. Because Tim refused to continue the wrong of omission, so he included the names of the four Americans. And he invited their families to that ceremony. This was a large ceremony, including Jaime Ramirez's mother, who flew in from Mexico. She finally got the proper burial for her father. A few years later, in 2018, the California legislature, 70 years after the accident, held a ceremony to commemorate the 28 Mexican citizens. And they honored Tim for doing the work that they admitted their government should have done 70 years earlier. Tim continues his work. As of today, he has found 15 families. He has written 2 books about the Mexicans who died in that plane crash and their stories and the stories of what their U.S. citizen descendants are accomplishing in this country. He also, with the help of the residents of Los Gatos Canyon, placed a memorial marker at the site of the plane crash. People from around the world come to that memorial because of Woody Guthrie's song. During his work, Tim was able to meet Woody Guthrie, who told Tim, you took on a job God would want done. Tim embraced his purpose. He returned to those 28 Mexican nationals, their names, and he showed them and their families the respect they deserved 70 years ago, but didn't get until recently. This is the power of embracing our purpose. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. Find your purpose. Live your destiny. Don't die with your music still in you. If you can do this, you will not only make a beautiful life for yourself, but no doubt for others as well. Thank you. I learned that story of Tim from Latino USA podcast that I discovered through NPR and have been listening and supporting now for many years. You might want to check it out, Latino USA. Let's pray. I invite our practitioners and ministers to stand with me and to take this prayer into their consciousness as well. Because the one chose to express itself through its creation, deeply we are one. All creation, every human that ever has been, lives now, or ever will live, deeply we are one. And every single one of us has come with a purpose that we can choose to fulfill. And in this moment, I feel called to give thanks to all those around the world who have said yes to their purpose, whatever it is, big or small, because there is no big or small in the heart of the divine. It all matters. And I say a special prayer of gratitude in this moment for all of those who are serving our Palestinian brothers and sisters and families and friends and fellow members of our one human family in Gaza. And I say a special prayer of thanks for all those who know that their purpose is to speak truth to power and are saying, don't forget, these are human beings. There must be a way forward that serves all. So for all those voices, for all those hearts and all those souls throughout history and time yet to come that say, yes, I give thanks. I give thanks. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, life. And I release this prayer. I surrender this prayer to that loving heart, that loving law that says in kind, thank you for saying yes. I will show you the way. So having released with faith that this is true for all, I simply let it go and I let it be, and so it is.